Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 20 of Edges and Sledges. We're here today. Our fellow co-blogger DJ is actually in Greece enjoying the beach, the sun, the sand, the beer. And I'm here with my brother Ashwin in New York. So good to be sitting in the same room and doing the podcast together. Today, I think the big topic that we're going to talk about is the India-England Test Series, the preview of the first test coming up, and lots of kind of controversy and interesting news that's been surrounding it over the last 1 week. I think the biggest impact for us right now is to talk about the India versus Essex game. It was the warm-up game, and of course, our king of warm-up games, Dinesh Karthik, was batting. And for our listeners, you know, we had last spoken about he has this great knack of scoring big in the knockout games before the ICC Champions Trophy. And so England seems to be special for him for that. But Ashwin, maybe just talk us through a little bit about the India-Essex game. What were your views? A quick recap.
Yeah, so it was a warm-up game, right? It was India scheduled it. It was supposed to be a four-day match. Then because of heat and exhaustion, they made it into a three-day match. Then, you know, the two different kinds of warm-up games are you could have had a full, legitimate, statistically counted first-class match, or you can basically do an extended net session, which is any number of batsmen. Well, you have 11 batsmen, but it can be any of the people in the squad, and you can have 10 bowlers and any of the people in the squad. And that's what India opted for. So when, as we go through it, you'll see lots of different batsmen got a chance to bat, lots of different bowlers got a chance to bowl. So good opportunity to test out what's going on, but didn't really count for much. So from a result standpoint, India batted first, made 395. Essex came on, chased, made 350-something. And then India were 70 for 2 odd at the end of the match. So just a draw, completely irrelevant, insignificant. But a couple of highlights that I think as we look through both the batsmen and the bowlers. From a batting standpoint, concern number one, Shikhar Dhawan got a pair, which is two ducks, a duck in each innings. Did not look comfortable, didn't stay out there long enough, honestly, to see if he was comfortable or not. And a worrying sign for somebody who may have been out of it.
Yeah, and that's interesting. You almost wish Shikhar Dhawan didn't play the test against Afghanistan.
When he got the century,
because he's that typical kind of guy who hits that century one every 10 games. India then thinks about how great a player he is and how quick he scores and how he's so essential for a test match to win you a game. And then the next nine innings he scores, you know, zero. Yeah. And so it's a bit tough.
And we'll talk about him when it comes to selection. But for me, I'm very conflicted about this one because he's good in England. He's generally good in England, but hasn't been good in tests so much. So Dhawan was one concern. The second was Pujara, who made one run in the first innings, made 23 odd in the second, so stayed out there a little bit of time, spent some time at the crease, but has had a very mixed domestic season in England, like we've talked about. The third is KL Rahul, who scored a 50 in one innings and 30 odd, I believe, in the second innings. So looked really solid out there. I didn't get a chance to actually watch the match or the highlights, so I don't know how fluid he was playing, but the scoreboard speaks for itself. And then the fourth, really, Kohli came out and made a 60-something, as you'd expect. You know, Kohli's out there to prove a point. And then the fifth thing from a batting standpoint is that keeper spot, which we talked about last week on the show. You and I had a different point of view on it, actually, where Karthik came out and made 82, as you mentioned. But then Rishabh Pant came out and made 34, 35 runs off 20 balls.
Yeah.
And he batted at number 9 or 10. So he gave everybody a glimpse of what you guys on the show actually mentioned.
Yeah.
He could do that Sehwag-esque batting, like just come out there, hit, rattle the bowlers a little bit and take the game away from them. So that was quickly on the batting.
Yeah. DJ, Ashwin mentioned Rishabh Pant. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I think we spoke last week about this, and his 34 of 20-ish balls really kind of goes to the point that Gilchrist, Sehwag, these guys were all great limited overs players, and then they became game changers for their test teams. And I don't think he's going to play the first test, given Karthik scored, I think, 82 and was the top scorer in the first innings. But I mean, it's good signs. It's good signs for Indian cricket. And who knows, we might even blood him in a surprise move at some point in the series. But it's good signs. It's showing the depth of the bench. And I'm looking forward to watching him play a test for India in the near future.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then just to quickly wrap up the Essex match from a bowling standpoint for India. I'm not going into the Essex players because none of them is playing for the England side. I actually don't know. To be honest, but from a bowling standpoint for India, Ishant Sharma looked solid. I think he picked up 3 wickets. Umesh Yadav looked solid. He picked up 4. Shami was a weak link, did not really come to the party. And interestingly, they didn't give the spinners many overs. I know it was a seamer's wicket, as is what we can, to an extent, expect in the tests. But I would have thought they want to try out Ashwin Jadeja and Kuldeep to see who they go with in the first set. It seems like Kohli and Shastri have their mind made up probably, so they were trying to figure out which quicks to go with, yeah. And I think Ishant and Umesh both came to the party.
Yeah, in fact, I found that interesting as well. I have a feeling they know exactly who's going to play from a spin perspective. They don't want to show, the bowling, especially when it's on TV and English players can analyze. I think they didn't want to kind of unleash that. So let's wrap up quickly the bowlers. Okay, so we'll do it in this way, right? Let's start talking about the first test, the India 11, and of course then we can get into other things. So, Ashwin, from a bowling perspective, who are the bowlers that will play?
I'm still in the camp that we're going to play two spinners. So yeah. I believe they're going to go, the two lead quicks will be Umesh and Ishant.
Yeah.
I think Shami has been weak in general. There's been a lot of controversy surrounding him. He didn't have a great IPL. So I think Umesh and Ishant, Hardik Pandya is going to slot in for that third quick
yeah.
spot, and they're going to give him more overs than we have in the past. He made his test debut just about a year, actually.
Yeah.
And then I think they're going to play Ashwin and Jadeja.
Ashwin
and I think you guys are going to say Kuldeep, and a lot of the world think Kuldeep, and they're probably right, but my gut just says Jadeja can bowl and take wickets regardless of the pitch. You can give him the most spinning pitch and he won't do anything more, but you can give him a seaming wicket and he
yeah.
won't be less effective. He bowls his over in about 45 seconds, and he just puts a certain amount of pressure on the side, plus he gives you that batting option. So to me, that's going to be the final moment.
Okay. DJ, the bowling for India?
Yeah, I slightly disagree with Ashwin. I think we need the X factor of Kuldeep. But yes, he's had a bit of a rest. He went for a few runs at the end of the ODI series. But I think he's going to be the difference between the two sides. And so Umesh, Ishant, yes. And no Shami for me either. But Ashwin, the off-spin option, as well as the wrist-spin of Kuldeep Yadav. Interestingly, Nehra came out recently and said that Umesh needs to work on his line. Ishan needs to work on his length, and Shami needs to work on his fitness. And I think those three statements are something I just can't disagree with. So I don't know what you guys thought about that, but maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm personally very, very concerned about India's fast bowling, because I think this has not been your fast bowling lineup for a long time. DJ, I don't know if you want to talk about it, but I can't remember the year, but I remember you told me once, you went to watch at Lord's or some ground where Kevin Peterson just ripped us apart for the whole day, and how excruciatingly painful it was to sit and watch that. I really fear that might happen again with Umesh and Ishant. And
yeah, this was 2011 where he got a double hundred and Ishant just got flicked
yeah.
all day through mid-wicket. It was just painful to watch.
Exactly.
I mean, for me, credit where it's due to Ishant. He invested in a domestic season in England. He's played
yeah.
really well there. So I think that's true. But yes, your lead. I would have gone three full-time quicks plus Pandya if
yeah.
your other two were Bhumi and Bumrah.
Yeah.
I'm going with the two-spin option because I just don't think
yeah.
Shami and Umesh are strong enough.
Yeah. And remember in, I think, the South Africa series, I think I read a stat. I can't remember the exact. But I think the average partnership per wicket for South Africa was one of the lowest ever. And that was a lot to do with the fact that I think a couple of times out of the six innings, they were like 15 for three
yeah.
because of Bhuvneshwar Kumar. So I'm really, really concerned about the fast bowling, because I don't see Hardik Pandya as being the third seamer to go to when these two are getting whacked. So anyway, bit of cause for concern.
Now, Bumrah was in the nets last week.
Yeah.
He was seen warming up in the nets. So they may be probably not the first two tests,
yeah.
I think they said, but maybe for test 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah. Also, let's be honest, India doesn't start off great,
yeah.
which is probably why I'm flying out for the second test instead of the first test. It was well thought out, but they don't start off well. But let's see. So let's go to DJ then for the batting lineup, right? There's a lot of things been going on. I don't know if you saw, Ravi Shastri just indicated that Rahul will most likely bat in the top four. What that means, is he replacing Dhawan? Is he replacing Chepu? I don't know. So DJ, what are your thoughts on the top four first?
I think Dhawan hasn't had a great record in England as a test player. He's got a great record as a one-day player, yes, but not the best record as a test player. So I think given his pair in the Essex game, I think he will probably be dropped. Chepu keeps his spot to start with for me. But I just have a question for you guys. Do you think we're going to play five bowlers? Definitely. So we're not even ruling out the option that it's going to be three bowlers, including Pandya and a spinner. It's definitely going to be five bowlers, including Pandya.
For me, I think that's why I think Jadeja, Pandya are your number 7 and 8. and Ashwin bats at 6 now. So there's enough batting options. So I think it's going to be 5 bowlers, including Pandya.
It's definitely 5.
Yeah, so in that case, I think Rahul plays just because he's a more solid player than Dhawan as well. He's more dependable. He's technically probably a little better.
Yeah.
And in a test match, you don't really need the variety of a left-hander like you do in a one-day game in some instances. So I'd say Rahul and Vijay to open the innings, followed by Chepu, and then, of course, King Kohli.
Yeah. Yeah, so I agree. Ashwin, anything different?
No, same top four.
So, I think the only thing comes down to whether Dhawan's wife has been hanging out with Anushka enough, and Kohli can afford to drop them, or drop Dhawan. But I think he will be dropped. I think DJ has got the top four right for all three of us. DJ, next three.
It's just going to be Rahane. He's done really well at that spot. He scored 100 at Lords previously. So that's number 5. Number 6, I think, is Pandya, followed by DK, who's... DK, I think, is a great addition to the Indian Test side. He's a person who's solid, he's busy, he's the kind of player that would really irritate the opposition coming in at number 7, if you know what I mean. So I think DK gets the keeper spot at number 7. And he's in good form. We all quite like him. He's done well in the Nidha series. He's got 10,000 first-class runs. He scored in the warm-up match, so everything indicates that he will be playing instead of Pant. And kudos to him. No issues with that at all. No issues with that decision if that comes through.
So I just echo that. I think Rahane at 5, no question. I think the batting order is going to be interesting. I do agree. I think Karthik's going to play that 6th batsman / keeper role, and then Pandya. I want to ask your thoughts on one thing. I saw a fan theory on Twitter that said, hey, the one way you can play both Karthik and Pant is to make Ashwin open.
Ashwin open the batting?
Ashwin in the top 4 somewhere.
Oh.
And the interesting reason for this, I think it's radical, I think it's bizarre, but the interesting reason for this is, you know, not dissimilar to what we said about Bhuvi and Bumrah, England's quick bowling lineup is phenomenal, but it's 2 quicks. It's Anderson and it's Broad. They have struggled with that third spot. They've tried Mark Wood, Craig Overton, Chris Wokes. They've tried a lot of these guys, and you know, when they were playing their previous few series, they've all got hit for runs. So if you have somebody who can just show the grit to see out Anderson and Broad, and by the way, they're not used to playing in 32-33 degrees when it's a hot English summer. So in the real heat, if you can have somebody just go up there to play out, and maybe it's Rahul, maybe it's Vijay, you've sheltered, then you allow Pujara, Kohli and beyond to take on these remaining bowlers.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting. I don't know if Gambhir said that. I don't know what Gambhir has been. I don't know what Gambhir has been smoking for the last few days. But I don't agree with that. I think Pujara's whole role is that. I was talking to Rohan yesterday as well. Pujara is now only playing 12 tests a year at a max. That's 60 days. 60 days with Afghanistan finishing in 2 days, etc.
Yeah.
Means that this guy is working only 50 days a year. He's got a grade A contract. Yeah. He's making as much money as Kohli from the BCCI. It's a bit of a tangent from what you asked, but,
no, but
it's basically
he needs to do that.
He needs to step up and play that role. I think he needs to see out Broad and Anderson. And the sad thing about what you said is it's not about Ashwin batting in the top 4. The sacrifice is only going to be one man if Pant and DK play, and we all know who that. It's actually going to be Rahane.
Rahane, right? Yeah,
and we don't want to get Rahane out again. DJ, I don't know, any thoughts.
No, I think I agree with that. And Rahane has to play. I think Pant's got to wait his time. Unless there's an injury, he isn't going to make the 7. Ashwin batting in the top 4 is a ridiculous idea. He's in the team as a bowler. He chips in with useful lower order runs from time to time. He's not a genuine all-rounder. And I mean, it's stupid to ask him to bat at the 4. So I don't know whether it's Gambhir or someone else who's come up with this plan. But batsmen have to bat to score runs. And bowlers take wickets. So let people do their jobs, basically.
I mean, having said that, if I'm not mistaken, in South Africa, he did bat, he definitely batted ahead of Saha.
Yeah.
And he batted ahead of Pandya too in many instances, other than when we promoted Pandya once.
Yeah.
So if he's batting at 6, it's not that radical. But it was just an interesting theory. I don't think...
Batting at 4 is a different proposition. Batting at 4 in England.
Agreed.
A different proposition from batting at 6 in South Africa. And I mean, if you're expected to score, your number 4 is expected to score 100, 1 in 5 innings or 1 in 6 innings, right? Ashwin is not going to give you that.
Fair. Yeah. No, I agree. I'm not on that same bit, but it's not as an interesting...
Yeah, no, but I want Pants to play, but I think the way Pants can play is if Pandya doesn't play.
Yeah.
So, I think you can't have a team of Dhawan, Pant and Pandya playing a test match in England.
Yeah, on the flip side, Vijay, Pujara, Rahane are all grinders. They can all grind it out. So, it looks pretty balanced right now.
So there you have it. I think I'm going to take the majority view on the team. I think it is going to be Rahul to play. I think it is going to be Pujara and Rahane as well in the mix. Dinesh Karthik. And again, sorry, Ashwin, but I'm going to say Kuldeep will play because it's 2 out of 3. So there you have it. So let's talk a little bit. DJ, I want to just go to you about Anderson versus Kohli. Do you think this is going to be one of the kind of biggest showdowns or the biggest battles? Also noting that when we were growing up playing cricket was a lot about individual battles. Today, it's not really the case, but this seems to be an interesting one.
I'm saying it takes us back to 1998, Sachin and Warne, right? I don't think I've been as excited about an individual battle since then. Kohli versus Anderson, Kohli's suffered at the hands of Anderson in the last tour, averaging 13.5. And I'm really looking forward to this. Obviously, Kohli is as well. And I mean, Anderson had his number last time round. Kohli was big enough to admit it. Anderson's come out and made some comments already in the press, trying to play some mind games with Kohli. And I mean, it's going to be interesting because Kohli's just got one ball and he's done. But Anderson can bowl ball after ball at him. So Kohli's really got to work hard to come out on top in this one. And it's going to be a fascinating battle over the summer. I think what's played into Kohli's hands is that it's a hot summer. Hopefully the pitches aren't going to be as spicy as they were the last time around when India played here. But Anderson is a skillful bowler. And I mean, I was listening to, I think, the Andy Zoltzman and Jared Kimber show, where they kind of went through Jimmy Anderson's stats over the last few years. And in England, Jimmy is just a phenomenal bowler. Just a phenomenal bowler with a phenomenal record. And it'll take all of Kohli's skill, guts, bravery, courage, stamina. I don't know what you want to call it, but it's going to be taking all of that to overcome Jimmy Anderson, who is, frankly, one of the best bowlers England has ever produced, if you ask me. So, it's going to be the battle of the summer. It's going to be the battle that we've all looked forward to since I think Sachin was born. So, yeah, I mean, I can't wait for it to start.
Yeah, and I think we have to be honest, Jimmy did get the better of Kohli last time. So, a lot of people are saying, you know, this is Kohli's real test. I mean, I think it's hyped up and overrated. Kohli doesn't have to prove anything to anyone. But yes, I think he needs a good English test series under his belt. He's got it in South Africa. He's got it in Australia previously. So this will be a big one for him personally. And so I think 2 points I just want to make on that. One is I think how the team bats around him is absolutely crucial, right? To support him, to give him enough opportunity to thrive. And the second is I think Jimmy Anderson is also 35 going on 36. So I don't know how much more he has left in him. There's a lot of talk about the two England pacers becoming repetitive, not innovating enough, and just, you know, too much dependency. So, so I actually think it'll be good fun to kind of...
That's the only thing I wanted to add. I think Anderson's sort of on the tail end of his career, if you want to call it. Kohli's at his peak.
Yeah.
He wasn't the last time they faced off. You know, he arguably may have been. Anyway, I think he's at his peak fitness.
Yeah.
He's in his peak form. He's just, this is his chance to shine. And I agree with you that if he doesn't mean taking anything really away from him, but I think this is his shot.
Okay. Great. There you have it. So let's talk about a little bit about the England team. And I think we don't have to run through all. Personally, do you guys know who's going to open? I know Cook will open. Do you know who's going to open with them?
I think they're trying they've tried Stoneman. They've tried Vince. They've tried a few of these different guys. I don't know what the latest thinking is, honestly. But I think it's very interesting to me now if Dhawan and Rohit don't play, that both sides have completely different limited overs openers and test openers. Where, you know, with these guys playing Cook and whoever, where it's Roy and Hales, or Bairstow sometimes open in the limited overs. So I think it's very interesting that it's different.
And who keeps for England in the...
So it's been Bairstow,
but Butler's,
I think, are, you know, not dissimilar to DK actually, right? Had a phenomenal run in limited overs, better than DK's had. But I think I think in limited overs, Butler is the better keeper. But Bairstow has more experience keeping to Anderson and Broad. So I'm not sure which of them is going to keep. But I would slot both of them on the side. I cannot see them playing a non-Butler 11.
Okay, DJ, anything to add on the batting? I mean, of course, Joe Root is going to be the mainstay. Cook, Moeen Ali, and Moeen Ali coming down the order is a bit dangerous. But anything to add on the batting?
Yeah, I think the one we should watch out for actually is Ben Stokes. Because I think you mentioned that they haven't got a third seamer, and I'm not sure that's right because they've got Stokes, right? Yeah, I mean, he's if he comes to the party, he lends to the England team that balance which they've lacked in the last few months and they've struggled with. But I think hopefully we can keep him quiet. He didn't perform very well the last time we were there. He got dropped, I think, after the Lord's Test. And since then, he's come on as one of the greatest finds for England. But I think Stokes will be a key player, and India need to keep him quiet, and England need him to perform. So that's just my little addition to that point.
Okay,
and Stokes is England's pandya.
Yeah, Stokes is England's pandya. Stokes has the most.
I think Stokes might be quite upset about that.
Man,
I think Pandya
will be upset. Stokes has not done anything that I can remember in the last few months.
Fair enough.
So you heard it here, yeah. Stokes is India's Pandya.
England's
Pandya. But yeah, last point. I actually quite like this guy, David Malan. Okay, I actually think he's pretty solid. So, but I also think he'll get undone by the spin because of the experience.
He bats super ugly, man. I don't think he's going to do well against us, actually.
But the other guy
I'm hoping so.
Ugly has the highest test average of all time right now after Bradman, which is Steve Smith.
Yeah.
He's incredibly ugly, but incredibly efficient, you know, effective. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I like the guy. I think he's got the grit. I think he can bat it out. And he showed that in the Ashes. But, yeah, I think spin is going to be the issue.
I was listening to a podcast, actually, that he was on as a guest. I think it was a BBC cricket podcast or something. And he said, he was just saying, honestly, in any other generation, I may have made the top seven comfortably.
Yeah.
Right? And it just so happened, he was talking about limited overs at the time, but still, he said, it just so happens that, like, even off the back of a good domestic season, I can't keep up with Roy, yeah, Hales, Butler, Bairstow, Stokes, Root.
Morgan.
It's just Morgan. He just said, I'm not the top seven, but in any other generation, I may have been. So,
yeah. And so I think that's why he has to create this niche for himself in tests. Mm-hmm. But coming to the main point, Adil Rashid, right? Adil Rashid, there was some controversy that happened a couple of days back. So Adil Rashid's background is, he kind of announced a few months ago that he's done with four-day cricket and wants to focus only on limited overs. A gutsy move, I think we discussed that in one of our podcasts earlier as well. A gutsy move, but I guess probably looking at his strengths, looking at the future of the game, looking at his own career and how to kind of make it longer, I think it is okay. He took that call. Suddenly, you see the England selectors have actually picked him to in the test squad. And it was a bit baffling, right? And, you know, you have Michael Vaughan coming out and saying that this is a crazy decision. He thinks it's ridiculous that somebody who said, I don't even want to spend time playing four-day cricket is now getting an England call-up. That's not the way the ECB should be looking at this. Rashid, in turn, replies saying Michael Vaughan is stupid. Michael Vaughan goes on to say something else. I can't remember exactly what he said. But the whole thing is a bit out of whack. My personal take on this, I think it's shocking that just because Adil Rashid probably got Kohli out and Kohli looked down the pitch staring at him as if, how did you bowl that delivery? That seems to be the only reason why they're calling him up. I think it would be a great move if Kohli did like a reverse psychology on the ECB to make it look like Adil Rashid is the bowler of the century. But yeah, a bit strange. I didn't quite understand it. But maybe a sign of what the pitches will be like as well. And in fact, Stuart Broad just made a comment yesterday saying even the groundsmen don't know what the pitches will play like. So, DJ, I don't know anything to add on the Adil Rashid thing. You've been in London or you've been in UK closer to it.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting decision because the England selectors have made it. The Yorkshire county chairman, I think, has come out and said it's baffling because Rashid doesn't play red ball cricket for them. Vaughan is obviously, as you said, come out strongly against it. And I think the same. I mean, Kohli's made Rashid look like an absolute genius.
Yeah.
And it's a brilliant move. It's just like, this guy is like, and it's the English tendency almost to overreact and reclassify Adil Rashid from being a good bowler to Shane Warne. Yeah. Right? And he's like, he's going to get all the wickets for us this season. He's not. He's a good bowler, but he hasn't played any four-ball cricket, like four-day cricket since, I don't know, last year. And he isn't doing it regularly. And as the Afghanistanis, to their detriment. red ball cricket is completely different from white ball cricket, my friend. And yeah, Rashid, we can just like, I have a feeling like he's going to go for so many runs that Kohli is going to be looking back going, yes, I'm glad I let that one go through my defenses because it's won us a few test matches.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. That was my take as well. They almost made the, Kohli's reaction almost made the Rashid's delivery look better than the Gatting delivery.
But it honestly did, right? Like I said this on the show last time. It was a good stock leg break.
Yeah.
It was good line, good length, and a good amount of turn. But it was a stock leg break that he read wrong. He read wrong. But
I think you mentioned it. He's just played the wrong line, right?
Yeah, maybe he just did the wrong line.
Just.
I mean, honestly, for me, the bigger issue with this is what message are you sending these hordes of young spinners playing the English red ball game? You're saying, hey, screw the red ball game. Go do well in T20 leagues all around the world. Go do well in the NatWest T20 or the Vitality Blast or whatever that is called. And then you'll get a test match call-up without having played domestic test. It's going to be incredibly demotivating.
Yeah.
It's going to cause a whole spate of other issues. And I don't think it's going to be worth it, right? Like the net positive is not going to outweigh all the negatives.
In fact, what irritated the Yorkshire chairman the most is that they had to take a leg spinner, Josh Poisden, on loan from another county to play the match against Hampshire. So he's just like, all of a sudden, Adil Rashid is playing test cricket for England, but we need to borrow a leg spinner from someone else.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a joke, right? It just undermines the whole county structure, the whole first-class structure in England, which has kind of been their bedrock for so many years. And I mean, it's showing the cracks in England cricket and how important limited overs cricket has become for them in some ways.
The only other thing I think it shows that they're scared of our top order.
Yeah.
Right? It shows that they don't have the faith in their bowlers beyond Anderson and Broad, kind of like I said. And even just the publicity of this, the PR, the Indian batsmen will be leaning back laughing, saying as soon as we see out, you know, 8 to 10 over spells from Anderson and Broad, we're good. We're all set because they don't have any faith in their next few bowlers. I disagree with DJ about Stokes, where I don't think he's as dangerous as he's been made out to be. So I think it's weak.
Yeah. So I think with the Adil Rashid topic, I'm just, maybe guys, don't be surprised if in the second or third test you see Jofra Archer being called up.
What is the legal status? Can he play for England?
Yeah, I think he can.
Done? Oh, that'll
happen. I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but I think so.
I thought he had a waiting period for 2 or 3 more years.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's performed for the Rajasthan Royals, so he makes an automatic entry into the England.
the test squad, right? Exactly. Absolutely.
They're into the test squad.
So, all right. So, that's it. Wrap up. I think my biggest takeaway from this is both sides' batting looks much better than their bowling. I think there's a lot of runs going to be scored in the first. Let's take the first two tests for now. We'll keep reviewing it. And, so I think that wraps up our India versus England. DJ, I'll be there in 10 days, so I can't wait to kind of watch it with you at Lord's. And, so I think the only last part of our podcast is just a quick 1-2 minute piece. DJ, I know you're reading a book about Dada. Do you want to just talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's Dada's kind of autobiography written with one of his co-writers. I got the book from another friend, Nikhil Chari, on Friday while I was flying out to Greece. It's written in very simple language. It's written in quite large font, so I finished it on the plane. It was about 250 pages long. And it basically can be summed up in, I think, 3 words, which are, I am Dada. And actually, it can be summed up in 6 words. I am Dada, I hate Chapel.
Yeah.
So it's just a great read. I mean, if for someone who grew up watching Dada, Ganguly, Sachin, Azhar, it's a great read. It's a trip down nostalgia, like down memory lane. It's fantastic. And I mean, but I love the way it's written. It's like, I'm a shy boy from Behala. I'm like really like not very proactive and I don't like to speak to people and all of that. And then he talks about his relationship with Steve Waugh and Harbhajan, Yuvraj. And it's just a great, great read for someone who grew up watching the Indian teams of the early 2000s and late 90s and early 2000s. It talks about his debut at Lord's and what he was thinking about and all the kind of warm-up games and all of that. All the people that he's brought into the team. He's not shy of taking credit for things, which is, I mean, it's such a Dada book. I can't explain more than that. I don't know what you guys think, but like, it's, if you had to take a Dada press conference after he's won a tournament and convert it into a book, it would be this. It's just like, I am Dada. I've captained India and built the team, and Chapel came and messed that up. But I came back and I was awesome. And then I decided to leave the game on my own terms. Great book. Great book. Just amazing. Amazing to read. Great fun. Awesome. So definitely recommend it.
Awesome. So, okay. Maybe I'll take it from you when I'm there next week. Media.
Yeah, it'll last you about an hour. So
yeah. So maybe
if you've got a spare hour, why don't you do it?
The tube ride back home or something, I'll just finish.
Yeah, or in the lunch break in the test match.
I mean. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's a great idea. Okay. All right.
Or okay. Maybe when Pujara's batting.
Maybe when Pujara's batting. Maybe, yeah. Okay, guys, so that's all from our side this week. Do check out our podcast. Like we mentioned, we're on Spotify as well. And I think, yeah, next week's episode will be fun. We'll have some insights on the first step. Thank you.